is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. And on this week's episode, we're going to get an insight into training from the 2018 Adequan USDF FEI Level Trainers Conference presenter, Johan Hinneman. Janine Malone will have information about the proposed USEF rule changes for 2018, and we'll bring you up to date on membership types and horse transfers. But as usual, we'd like to remind you that the views of the host and guests of this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the USDF or its members. The 2018 Adequan USDF FEI Level Trainers Conference will be held in Del Mar, California, and will feature Johan Hinneman. The conference will be held from February the 6th to the 7th in the main arena of the Adequan West Coast Dressage Festival in Del Mar. The presenter, Johan Hinneman, is recognized worldwide as a trainer and coach, having served as Canada's team trainer and German national coach alongside Klaus Balkenhol. His student roster reads like a who's who of Olympic medalists and various national champions, including Stefan Peters, Kobe Van Baarlen, Marlies Van Baarlen, Ulla Salzgeber, Heidi Kemmer, and Alexandra Simmons de Ridder. Audition registration for the conference will be available from November the 1st, and for those interested in participating as a demonstration rider, please visit the website at usdf.org for the application form and deadline. And for more information on the Adequan USDF FEI Level Trainers Conference, including criteria for attendance, please contact the USDF office at trainersconference@usdf.org or by calling them at 859-971-2277. And to get us in the mood, here's a short extract of Johan Hinneman's theory on training, which was recorded at the 2016 Adequan USDF FEI Level Trainers Conference.
And our job is to develop always exercises to make things better. And you cannot do everything at the same time. I mean, that's really our job as trainers, to always to think about something every day, how to make some things better. This is, to develop ideas means training. To develop ideas means really school the horses and teach our students that we can only get things better with logical exercises which will bring us into a situation to renew the basic gaits, the basic suppleness, the basic submission.
And again, to register as an auditor or to participate as a demonstration rider, please contact the office at trainersconference@usdf.org and visit usdf.org for more information on the Adequan USDF FEI Level Trainers Conference, which will be held on February the 6th and 7th at the Adequan West Coast Dressage Festival in Del Mar, California. I'm joined now by Janine Malone, who is chair of the Dressage Sport Horse Committee Rules Working Group, and she's here to tell us about the proposed rule changes that could affect dressage riders and judges in 2018. Janine, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
So where would you like to begin, Janine?
Well, first, let me explain the U.S. equestrian process for rule changes that has evolved somewhat over the last few years. Each year they issue some clarifications on how rule changes can be submitted and the effective dates that can be requested. We have three groups of rule changes for dressage this year. Since we're an FEI discipline, we have FEI rule changes. They're made in compliance with FEI rules, so they're classified as FEI rule changes. Then we have rule clarifications, and those are allowed to be effective at an earlier date than the, for instance, standard rule changes, which are the third category. Standard rule changes are submitted to U.S. Equestrian. They're considered by various committees before they're put into the system. They're voted at the annual meeting, which is the annual convention or annual meeting of U.S. Equestrian, is in January 2018, and they would normally become effective on December 1st, 2018. Rule clarifications, which is the first group we're going to discuss, are allowed to become effective at a much earlier date. The ones that we have submitted, September 2017, will be considered by the Board of Directors in November 2017, and if approved, will become effective December 1st, 2017. And then, again, these are considered to be clarifications of current rules and not actually completely new rules. All the rule changes go through a review process of several committees before they get to the Board of Directors. And without going into all of that detail, I would like to go ahead and just explain the four clarifications that Dressage has submitted to become effective 12/1/17, and these will go to the Board of Directors. They've gone through the approval process to date, and they will go to the Board of Directors at its November meeting. The first one is on the to DR 119, the equivalency chart for dressage test. Basically, the chart lists what tests and levels that are equivalent to each other. And there's always been some question for about freestyles, which require a rider to have competed or get a minimum score at the highest test of the level, and as to which other tests would count as the highest test of the level. So a clarification is being submitted to read, except for young horse tests, all dressage tests listed above, and that's in the equivalency chart, shall be considered equivalent to the highest test of the level. In other words, for example, the FEI Pony Rider Team Test is considered equivalent to second level test 3. So that's the first clarification. The next one is to saddlery and equipment. Many people who fox hunted and done pony club and all of those things recognize that a red ribbon in a horse's tail identifies a horse that kicks. Yet we have rules for dressage allowing decoration with ribbons, etc. So we put in a clarification that gives an exception to that rule, that to say that a red ribbon in a horse's tail is permitted to identify the horse that kicks. Another one, rule change proposal, is to DR 122, and it's regarding the FEI tests for seven-year-old horses. The tests were new in 2017, and the FEI hadn't really come up with all the rules for judging and the marking sheets for the test. Actually, that test has two marking sheets, a technical marking sheet and a quality marking sheet, and it's rather complicated as to how the test is judged when you have one judge or multiple judges. There was a paper issued by the dressage department last year for shows explaining how all this was handled, and now all of that information is going into DR 122, and this is important for competition management and judges and the competitors to read the details of how the FEI tests for seven-year-old horses are judged and how judges are seated and how the tests are scored. I won't read it because that's a very long rule, but it is a clarification to something that was put into effect earlier in the year regarding directive to shows. The next clarification is to clarify that only the judge at sea may give permission for competitor withdraw during a test. Competition management has no authority to grant permission for a rider to withdraw or scratch during or after a test. And it also states that competitors may not withdraw or scratch after the final salute of a test. And that has been considered to be understood for years, but there have been some issues where competition management have decided to have allowed riders to withdraw scratch after the test is completed and the rider saw their scores, and that's obviously not what's intended by the rules. So there will be a clarification on that. And those are the four clarifications we have submitted. Next, we have several rules that will be put in for changes that are anticipated for the FEI, by the FEI. And this is a bit complicated because most of these were submitted by the FEI for consideration of federations in June, early July 2017. Like other federations, the U.S. Equestrian sent in comments. We don't know what actually is going to be approved by the FEI General Assembly at its meeting, and I think it's the second, third week of November. The board actually meets just before that to review all these rule changes. So that's got to be determined how this will be handled if the FEI actually changes the rule changes they had published this summer. But one big change would be, and this rule change proposal is in several places, it would allow riders to enter up to 30 seconds after the start of the music rather than 20 seconds, which is the current rule. So that would actually be allow 10 more seconds for a rider to get in the ring after the music starts. There also would be, is proposed, a lower deduction if the freestyle test is longer or shorter than stipulated on the test sheet. It would be the deduction from the artistic score would be changed. And those would be specifically in one place for high-performance classes only. We would have to make other changes for determine how we're going to handle it at other freestyle levels. There's a rule change from the FEI that riders, explaining when riders are allowed to ride with one hand and mandating that they have both hands on the reins other than patting the horse on the neck or something like that. That's kind of a long rule change, too. We use the wording exactly published by the FEI, but it does describe the penalties if the riders ride with one hand other than just a brief moment with when they take one hand off the ring, so it explains the penalties for that. If a rider uses a voice, not only is there deduction from two marks from the movement, at least two marks from the movement where it occurred, but use of voice is also, should also be considered in the collective marks. So that's part of a rule change. Another rule change proposed by the FEI is to change the age of FEI children to ride individuals who can ride the FEI test for children. Right now it's 12 to 14, and it would change the age from 12 to 15. So somebody would be eligible to the end of the calendar year. The rider turns 15. There are some other changes to the dress code for FEI junior tests, the FEI test for 4, 5, and 6-year-old horses, and that's in DR 120. And it would be, the dress code would be dark tail coat or dark jacket with protective headgear, except in CDIs, of course, senior riders, in young horse tests, are still allowed a top hat, but in U.S. equestrian dressage competitions, protective headgear is required for all tests, and it basically when anyone's mounted on the showgrounds. But the dress code does have some clarifications to comply with new FEI rules. Also, a small change, striped colored coats would not be allowed in Grand Prix Freestyle anymore. That rule didn't last very long with the FEI, so we propose to take it out of our rules as well. There is a clarification that would be in compliance with FEI rules that nylon or other non-metal material may be used to reinforce leather in the headstall, but must not come in direct contact with the horse. Elastic inserts are permitted in the crown piece and cheek pieces only. There are many, many new bridles coming on the market, it seems like every week, and many of them have metal or nylon reinforcements under two layers of a bottom and a top layer of leather, and it's really impossible to tell what's underneath. We don't want exposed metal touching a horse still as part of a noseband, which has been our rule for years, but now we're clarifying that nylon or non-metal may be used to reinforce leather as long as it doesn't come in contact with the horse. They're, again, going back to tests for FEI. Seven-year-old horses, we have a rule that clarify that either a snaffle or double bridle may be used in this for the seven-year-old test. There's a FEI rule change specifying that total final results and scores, to include artistic and technical scores for the freestyles, that's percentage scores, must be published in the final scores. So it requires both the technical and the artistic scores for freestyles to be published. The dressage committee actually agreed, or the dressage sport committee it is now, put forward a few rule changes that would be standard rule changes, and I explained those would be rules that take effect, if approved, take effect on December 1st, 2018. And one of those is, would be a significant change to the minimum age that a horse can be competed at fourth level. Right now, there is no horse can be ridden under saddle under age three. That's the rule right now, and that would apply to fourth level. And it was felt that is obviously too young to compete at fourth level where collection's required. So we have a rule proposal to make the minimum age 6 years to compete in fourth level tests. That's one of our standard rule change proposals. And another would specify that qualifying scores for USEF national championships, all the national championships, must be submitted to the dressage department within 48 hours after the competition, or the shows at the very end of the qualifying period have to submit their results within 24 hours. So that would, those have been in policies and qualifying criteria, but not in the rule book before. Third one was requested by, rule change proposal was requested by USEF, and that's to deal with different owners for U.S. equestrian and USDF qualifying classes for regional championships. And the new, the rule change proposal would read, if the horse has more than one owner, at least one owner must have both active USEF, junior active, senior active, or life membership, an active USDF participating or business membership. For a business or farm to be the valid owner under this requirement, it must be listed as an owner of the horse with both USEF and USDF. And those are the only three standard rule change proposals. There are a few general rule change proposals, none of them submitted by dressage. Some of them would have significant impact on dressage, and I just want to mention a few of those. There is a proposal limiting who can submit rule change proposals to U.S. equestrian. There has been a move to reduce the number of rule change proposals and make the process a lot faster and more efficient, and with decisions made prior to the U.S. Equestrian Convention. And this would limit, for example, would have to be a senior active member for at least 5 consecutive years before they'd be eligible to submit rule change proposals. Another one that may be of interest is almost a clarification, but it's considered a standard rule change proposal. It limits individuals that can file protests during a competition. It's only a rider, driver, vaulter, longer, exhibitor, owner, agent, or trainer, or a parent of a junior. One has to be in one of those capacities at a show. In other words, a U.S. equestrian member at the show who was not competing or was a spectator, that person could not file a protest. It only is actually somebody listed as a participant could file a protest at a show. Another one would be significant and has been discussed for many years by the Federation, and it would make it a USEF violation to make untruthful statements, misrepresentations, or engage in fraudulent behavior in any horse sales or lease transaction. That would become a U.S. Equestrian Federation violation for which somebody could be suspended or whatever. Another significant one, and there are a lot, the Federation is looking at a lot more horse welfare rules, and there have been additional rules like that passed in recent years, but there is a proposal regarding cruelty and abuse that would read to add, considering under cruelty and abuse of a horse, willfully tolerating cruelty to an abusive horse, make it a violation to know of cruelty or abuse of a horse in a licensed competition but fail to report it. So if somebody saw something happen and didn't report it, then that person would be subject to penalty by the Federation. Regarding mandatory reporting of a horse and pony collapse, there are two proposals that any horse or pony that collapses is prohibited from competing for 24 hours after said collapse. There are two proposals like that from different entities. There are two proposals regarding increasing the safe sport policy requirements for trainers or coaches at competition. That would be have a significant impact. We'll have to wait and see how those go forward. There was one from an individual, and the other one, I believe, is from USHJA, and it would require anybody signing an entry blank at a competition as either coach or trainer to fulfill safe sport policy requirements, which means the criminal background check and the online training. Right now, only licensed officials have to complete that in order to renew their license. There are some others, too, but I think those were the main ones that USDF members would be interested in. And regarding the convention, there will be a rules forum. I don't have the exact time, a day or time in mind right now, but all of these rule change proposals that have been submitted by dressage will be discussed. Now, some of those will possibly be approved already by the time of the USDF convention, but we will also be discussing all the general rule change proposals that might have any impact on dressage, and we'll get feedback, which the Dressage Sport Committee will use in giving its feedback to the Federation in the comments from dressage or the actions taken by dressage on any rule change proposals. And that's basically all I have. We have fewer rule change proposals this year than we have had in most previous years, but I think that the process is working fairly efficiently, and we'll certainly be glad to get feedback at the convention.
That's been very helpful, Janine. We really appreciated you taking the time to come on the program and explaining those proposals.
And I do expect some additional drafts to some of the rule changes that have been discussed. I was one of the individuals representing dressage in a meeting in the last couple of weeks to give feedback on the general rule change proposals, and I do expect some additional drafts. Of course, I didn't cover all the ones that might be of interest to dressage, but I just touched on a few that would have the biggest impact.
Well, again, we really do appreciate you taking the time to come on the program. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And as a USDF member, you're encouraged to review active rule change proposals and provide feedback, which can be done by attending the USDF rule change forums that are scheduled during the Adequan USDF annual convention. Members are also encouraged to contact your PM or GM delegates and encourage them to attend any relevant meetings or forums that are held during the convention. For the current list of active rule change proposals that have been approved by the USDF Dressage Committee and will be going forward to the USEF Board of Directors for approval, please visit the website at usdf.org and follow the link to the USEF Rule Changes and Proposals. And finally, a reminder to renew your membership for 2018, which begins on December the 1st, 2017. Those who renew their USDF participating membership online by December 31st will receive a $25 electronic gift card from SmartPak. Only members that are current as of December 31st will receive the 2017 yearbook issue of the USDF's Connection magazine. And we'll hear now about the types of membership and horse transfers.
First, we're going to talk about the people requirements. The first type of human membership that we have is a group membership. So that's going to be through your local group membership organization. There's a listing of those on our website, which you can go and check out to find a group that's close to you. And we definitely encourage everyone to be involved at the local level with their group membership organizations. With USDF, when you have a group membership, you can compete at recognized competitions without paying a non-member fee, and you're also eligible for scores to count towards rider awards, which are your USDF gold, silver, bronze medals. That's a really good option for a lot of people, and there are also individual benefits with the different groups. The next type of membership is a participating membership, which can be renewed online, or you can fax or mail a paper application into us. The participating membership is directly with USDF. Unfortunately, there's no discount if you already have a group membership. A participating membership is effective the day you submit the application and membership fee, and that it expires November 30th of the current year. Assuming all other memberships and horse registration requirements are met, you're eligible for everything with USDF when you have your participating membership. That includes year-end awards, you know, like the All Breeds Awards, and you're eligible to qualify for championship programs like regionals. If you're using the online option to get your participating membership, I would definitely make sure to save the last page of the transaction screen. It will say this is your temporary verification. If you're doing this right before a show, you can take that to the show secretary and use it as a verification. And next, we're going to talk about horse requirements. Horses can also be registered online, or you can fax and mail in the paper application that's available on our website. The first type of horse registration is the horse identification number, which we call the HID. An HID is the minimum requirement for your horse to compete at USDF recognized competitions so that scores earned will be recorded. The HID is only a one-time fee and it does not need to be renewed. The second type of horse registration is a lifetime horse registration. It's the highest level of registration for a horse with USDF. Again, it's only a one-time fee. It does not need to be renewed. With the lifetime horse registration, the horse is eligible for basically everything with USDF, the year-end awards, regional championships, and that kind of thing. Keep in mind that for scores to be counted for these things, the horse must also be owned by a USDF participating or active business member, and the rider of the horse must be a participating member. If your horse already has an HID registration, you can upgrade that registration to a lifetime registration at any time. This can also be done online. If you upgrade the horse from an HID to a lifetime registration, the horse will keep the same number, but the type of registration will be changed. Keep in mind that when you upgrade a horse, it's not retroactive. The horse must be upgraded to lifetime status prior to entering the ring in order for scores to count for awards and championship programs. Just a few tips for registering your horse with USDF. If you're registering with both USEF and USDF, make sure that the horse's name matches exactly between the two. Once again, like with your membership, if you are registering a horse online, make sure to save that last page of the transaction, as that can be used as temporary verification. If you submit a horse application online, keep in mind that you're going to get a number for the horse by email the following business day. If you're sending in breed papers, you can fax or mail them to us after you have the horse's number. You will be able to print a card or ID for the horse from our website within 2 business days of submitting an online application, or within 2 business days of us receiving your paper application in the office. We usually mail out official certificates within a week or two of your horse's registration. Now we're going to talk about horse transfers, which we get a lot of questions about. If you think your horse may already be registered with USDF, make sure and try and check on our website or give us a call so we can do a search. We do our best to never duplicate horse registrations. So if it comes up in our system that your horse is already registered, we will be contacting you about a transfer. That way we don't assign the horse a brand new number. In addition to the transfer fee, we will need the signature of the owner that we have on record for the horse in our system. We can't accept the signature of agents or family members, even if the owner we have on record is a minor. We'll need that signature on the back of the original certificate where a transfer form is printed, or we can have the signature on a bill of sale that will be submitted along with our transfer of ownership form. If you don't have the signature of the person that we have as owner in our system, you can submit a transfer form with a copy of the horse's breed registry papers if those papers have been fully transferred into your name. Unfortunately, we can't accept breed papers that are in the process of being transferred with the registry. Lastly, and perhaps easiest of all, you can submit a transfer form too. This needs no other documentation, but your signature needs to be notarized. In closing, there is more detailed information about all of this on our website, usdf.org. You can go to the membership tab and see where everything's broken down. You're also always welcome to give us a call with questions or concerns.
And that's it for this week's episode. And if you missed any episodes of the USDF podcast, you can download them from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app such as Podbean or Stitcher. And to hear when the next episode of the podcast is available, be sure to follow us on social media on Facebook and Twitter. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.